You are about to listen to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. The Snow Nose Gardening Show is the longest running gardening show in America. The Snows will talk gardening, answer your questions, and have a lot of fun along the way. Make sure you visit them online at www.snownose.com or go by in person, 1875 Avon Street. Their phone number, 434-295-2159.
Been running since the spring of 1950. Puts us on the air not quite as long as Rick Daniels and Jane Foy were talking about the other day. I was listening yesterday on the morning show. They said we've been on the air since 1746, so not quite that long. But hey, you know, maybe somewhere, someone somewhere in the Snow family was standing up on a rock, yelling and screaming and educating people about gardening. That's the only thing I can think of.
Could have been.
And if they have any of the genes that have been running through the Snow family in the last couple of years, that wouldn't be out of character for them to be out talking about gardening. What a beautiful, gorgeous day it is today. We're being really just spoiled. I feel just so blessed and thankful to be living in Charlottesville and just partaking and basking in this beautiful sunshine. I keep having to look down at my watch and say, is it really February 17th? Is it really February 18th? Is it really February 19th? And give myself a little head check.
I tell you, it's great.
Especially when you think back to about a year ago.
Yes.
We had our record-breaking snowfall that put us in, you know, above 40 inches for the year. So what a difference a year makes. And I'm glad to see this beautiful warm weather finally here. If you'd like to join the show, our number that you can reach us at live here in the WINA studios is 977-1070. We have one caller on the line. Let's go to line one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
I'm waiting for the other show. I thought it was on, though.
Oh, okay. Which one was that? Jennifer Till?
Pardon me?
You were waiting for a different garden show?
No, not garden show, but WINA for birthdays.
Oh, we can take your birthday. Do you have a birthday to put on the list?
Oh, yes. Well, not to put on the list, but I was calling in.
Oh, okay. I'll put you on hold. Glenn will talk to you on the other line.
Okay.
Glenn will take care of that, our show director here. Speaking of birthdays, we would like to wish Trevor Johnson a happy birthday, Monica Gibson, and Christian Howell. All three are celebrating a birthday today, so happy birthday, all y'all, from the Snow Nose crew and everyone here at WINA. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
That's right.
So this weather, just getting back to the weather, it's a little bit out of character. I think we came close, or we broke a record yesterday that had been standing for several years. I didn't hear the official word on it. I know we were flirting with it. But nonetheless, and looking at the 10-day, it looks like the season is really going to be pushed kind of up this year. And in preparation and planning for that, you might need to adjust a few of the every day, some of the practices that you have out in the garden. You might want to just reconsider some of the critical timing applications that you make in the garden, like crabgrass preventer, broadleaf preventer, even some of your fertilizers, getting seeds out. This warmer weather really allows you to kind of move things up just a little bit, especially to make sure you're hitting it at the proper time.
And probably one of the most critical things is weed control.
Right.
In the garden. And if you're used to putting down a pre-emergent weed control in your flower beds and shrub beds and things like that in middle of March, we're looking at really needing to do that now to get a good jump on the weeds. The chickweed and henbit is out there, and it's getting ready to just explode. So it's good to get in there and get things cleaned out early this year.
Yeah, I would imagine by this time next week, I mean, chickweed and henbit's already, we've seen it around the garden center already as we're preparing for the spring. But as you start looking around, you're going to start seeing that stuff just jump, especially in the next week.
Right. These warmer temperatures, it's gonna grow like crazy, and it's been there, you know, for the most part since, you know, October, November, But in just real, real small rosettes, kind of just sitting there in the soil, kind of hiding in the mulch and everything. But now that the weather is, we've had a few days of good warm weather, that stuff is just, it's just going to jump. And it's going to be like, where in the heck did all this stuff come from?
Well, that's a great segue because it leads me into, you know, so what are some of the things you can do to suppress weeds, especially in the planting beds. If you want to get ahead of the game, be prepared so you're not having to spend your entire summer hand digging and pulling weeds. There's definitely a smarter, easier way to deal with them. And two applications that kind of go hand in hand are weed preventatives, weed pre-emergent herbicides, and mulching.
Right.
It's a great companionship that kind of go hand in hand. In fact, I was talking to someone this week, and they said, well, you know, what's the big deal about mulch anyway? She agreed. She said, it looks pretty, you know, when it goes down, but what's it actually doing for my plants? What's it doing for my garden? What's it doing for my trees? And we sat down, we talked about some of the benefits of mulch. And number one is, weed suppression. It'll help out a great deal with the amount of weeds that are in your planting beds if you apply a generous layer of mulch in the spring and partner that with a good weed herbicide.
Right, and neither one of them are going to do the job by themselves. Mulch will help to reduce the number of weeds that you get, but just because you mulch doesn't mean you're not going to have weeds.
Right.
You know, you will still have some weeds that come up through the mulch. And if you put down the pre-emergent herbicides, that doesn't mean that you won't get any weeds coming through at all. Especially, you know, some of the products require a layer of mulch over top of them or to be watered in real well right after they go down in order to maintain their effectiveness. If you just scatter them out on the ground, the active ingredient actually evaporates out of the granules and into the atmosphere, and you lose the effectiveness of the product, and it doesn't work anywhere near as well.
I have people tell me that all the time. They said, well, I put my mulch down in my beds, and after I got my mulch, you know, put down, I came back with some weed screen or a preen product, and I sprinkled it all in the mulch, and I said, stop right there. I was like, tell me that in order again. She's like, I put my mulch down, and then I went down and put the preen on top. I said, that's probably where you went wrong.
Right.
It evaporates, volatilizes back into the air, and all that active ingredient is lost, giving you very little control, if any control whatsoever, from that product.
Right. That's kind of how these products work. They form a vapor barrier right at the surface of the soil underneath the mulch. And as the seeds germinate, it interacts with that chemical vapor that's in there and stops the growth of the plant as it germinates and as that seed starts to crack open. But if there's not that layer over top of them, or if the product isn't incorporated into the soil, there's nothing for that vapor to hang in, and it just evaporates out and it's gone.
If you'd like to join the show, if you have any questions, again, our number is 977-1070. All three phone lines are wide open. We'd love for you to join the show. So let's just recap that order again. So we've talked about the way not to do it. So the correct order would be, number one, you want to clean and eliminate any existing weeds. We go through the garden center, the nursery, every spring, and there's henbit and chickweed and things that are already growing. And if you just put those products on top of the existing weeds, it's not going to do anything to kill the existing weeds that are in the planting beds.
Yeah, it'll keep new ones from coming, but all those existing ones are just going to keep growing.
So the first thing you need to do is get a clean slate, remove all the weeds that are there. Either pull them, get a shovel out, dig them out, scrape them out, get rid of all the weeds, have a clean surface, clean canvas. Second, you need to go through, and then the second step in the process would be to put down your product like weed screen, preen, cover it pretty generously. They'll put the application right down on the bag, so follow the instructions as always. But put, you can do like a double rate, and in my opinion, that's one thing you don't want to skimp on. You don't want to just kind of lightly shake it around and not getting good coverage. You want to make sure you're getting maximum coverage with the product you're putting down. And then second, you need to cover that that product sooner rather than later. I would not wait, you know, a couple weeks before you mulch. I would try to do the mulching, you know, try to time it so you're mulching right after you put down the product.
Right. The sooner the better. Some of those products can actually evaporate out and be gone in and break down in the sunlight in, 24 hours. So it's important to get the product down on top of it, you know, the mulch down on top of it right away. And, you know, as Corbin said, you want to make sure you get good coverage over all of the areas, but don't go overboard with
right.
it because you can, you know, if you put too much down in and around your existing plants, you can burn some of the roots of your desirable plants. Use it at the correct rate. It's safe to use in and around your perennials.
And try to keep them off,
shrubs.
You know, some of the, you know, especially if you're putting it down heavy, which you don't want to do, but try to keep it off the, you know, you don't want to dump it all in the foliage of your shrubs and have
right.
it.
Right. The idea is to get it in on the right on the soil surface around the plants. You don't want to keep it off the foliage as best you can. It's not going to do you any good there anyway. So anything
right.
you get on there is wasted. But you know, get it in around the root system of your existing plants is fine. You know, in and around your perennials is fine. You know, try to keep it off of the foliage. And you know, stick to the recommended rates as much as you can. Get good thorough coverage. But, you know, make sure that you're using enough. But if you get in, you know, using too much, you can run into some problems, especially around perennials and tender things like that.
We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We're here to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls at 977-1070. If you'd like to join the show, the phones are wide open. We had a few callers that gave up holding through the break. If you call right back, we'll put you on the air and answer your question. Let's get back to talking about mulch. We talked about one of the
Putt-Putt Golf Pros.
Hey, sorry about that, Putt-Putt. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Speaking of Putt-Putt, we went to Putt-Putt last night. It was date night, and it was Jill's night to choose what we were going to do, and she said, we got to go to the ATM first. I was like, okay, there's only so many things you need cash for these days. One of them is a round of Putt-Putt. They don't take any other form of money. So we went to the ATM, got some cash out, and drove over there, and of course they were closed. And she said, I thought they would for sure be open on a gorgeous night like tonight, but I guess even Putt-Putt can't open it. They're in the middle of February. We jumped the gun a little bit, didn't we?
Oh, man, I tell you.
Let's go.
I love it, though.
Let's go to line number two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi, I have a question. Is there anything that cannot be pruned at this time? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay, great. Yeah, just some things I wouldn't prune this time of year. Going to be a lot of the spring flowering shrubs.
Right.
You know, obviously you wouldn't want to go through and prune, you know, some of the forsythia, azaleas, rhododendron. Those things are just, at this point, just a few short weeks away from blooming. So if you went through right now and pruned those or trimmed them up or severely cut them back, you can do it. You're just going to miss out on all that spectacular color and flowers that you just wait for this time of year.
Right. And, you know, like you say, it's not going to hurt the plant any, but you know, why not let it do its thing, enjoy the flowers on it, and then you'll be able to do whatever you need to it in, you know, the middle of the end of April.
Or yeah, if you don't care about the color and the flowers, and you know it's something you just have to get done. You don't necessarily care once again about the color and the flowers. Then yeah, you could definitely prune them. And they would respond, they would be fine. You just miss out on the spectacular beauty that they provide this time of year.
Right, and that's, you know, things like your azaleas and rhododendrons, pieris, forsythia, a lot of the spireas, although, you know, some of the later blooming spireas like Little Princess and Neon Flash and, you know, the kind of smaller growing
yeah.
pinkish ones that bloom later in the season, those would be okay now because they bloom on new growth. But the older, you know, traditional, you know, the bridal wreath spirea, the Van Hoots and things like that, you wouldn't want to prune those right now. Lilacs, forsythias, quince, Well, quince you could probably do because they bloom far enough down into the plant that it wouldn't be that much of a problem. But, you know, all of those things that we traditionally look at as the spring bloomers you'd want to avoid. But, you know, there are scenarios where you kind of, you don't have a choice. You know, you've got to open up access to an area or something like that. And then it's perfectly fine to do it. You won't get you'll lose out on the color if you have to do it now, but it certainly will not hurt the plant any. In fact, I can't think of anything right off the top of my head that would be severely damaged by pruning it now. You know, all of the plants that are out there, you could prune them down, they'd be just fine. It's just a matter of what's the effect going to be on the flowering for this season.
Also, you know, talk a little bit about some of the things that like to be pruned this time of year. You know, it's a good idea to start thinking about some of your roses if you haven't done any deadheading or really cleaning out of your roses, removing anything dead, damaged, or diseased from last season. It's a good idea to start thinking about pruning your roses, mm-hmm. ornamental grasses. It's not too far off. And again, I'm a big believer, you know, in these nice days in February, which are far and few between traditionally, you know, take advantage of that. If you have some spare extra time to get out and do that now, because your time may not be, you may not have as much time in March and April when that stuff definitely needs to be done and completed by.
Right. And one thing that can sneak up on you really quick too, if you're not careful, is pruning back like your liriope.
Yeah.
Getting that cut
back.
That's
one that can kind of get away from you.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, the weather's really warmed up. They've started to throw up new growth, and then you know, you're looking at damaging the new growth when you go into cut it back.
All right, we got all three lines bleeding red over there. Let's start with number three. I think they were first. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning, and thank you for the reminder about the liriope. I always forget that.
I don't know how much we forget about it. Just none of us want to deal with liriope. It's just one of those. They're beautiful when they leaf and grow back out, but they're a nuisance to have to prune back every year.
Get the lawnmower out and run them.
Exactly.
No mercy.
That's it.
Well, I have a question that I prepped Norman for, so please help me.
Okay.
Daylilies that get crowded. When is the best time to divide daylilies?
The best time to do it is when they first start kind of poking up out of the soil, and you start to see their little heads. Then you can go in there and dig the whole clump up and kind of split it and move it around and space it out and everything. One of the easiest, best ways to do it is to take a couple of spading forks and stick them down back to back down through the middle of the clump, and then just kind of pry it apart.
Perfect.
And that,
so, as soon as the little noses come up out of the ground.
Yep.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for your phone call.
Uh-huh.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Let's go to line number two. Then you can finish your thought. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
That might be me.
Is yeah, that's you. That's you. Good morning.
Hi. Is it too early to cut the buddleia back? Butterfly bush.
No, I think you'd be fine to go ahead and do that now.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome. Yeah, again, buddleia, you know, typically you wouldn't want to do it in the dead of winter, but looking at the 10-day forecast, looking at what's projected out there, I think you'd be perfectly safe. Go ahead and pruning those back. And again, things are going to start putting on buds and flowers and new growth a little bit earlier, even by a week or two. So you want to get in and do some of these tasks a little bit earlier in the garden, especially while the weather's holding up.
And typically the main reason to wait on something like that would be to prevent, you know, if we have really, really hard cold temperatures through the winter, you know, like we sometimes do, you can get some dieback on some of these, you know, more tender shrubs and perennials and things like that. Even, you know, crepe myrtles. We've been lucky the last several years. We haven't had a winter that causes damage on them. But if you go in and prune them back too early, you know, if they die back a foot because of cold weather and you've already cut them back to where you wanted them, you're losing a foot of growth that you really wanted to keep.
Right.
Whereas if you wait till the weather, you know, we're kind of past all the really, really cold stuff to cut them, if it dies back a foot, it's a foot of growth that you're going to take off anyway. So
exactly.
Who cares? So that's the real reason to wait. And, you know, you wait till we've kind of passed that risk And it looks like we, you know, we're standing a good chance of being through.
Knock on wood, Norman.
I know.
With our luck, we'll have a little nor'easter rolling here and drop 20 inches on us.
Well, but that would, you know, that would be okay as long as the temperatures didn't get too cold. It's just, you know, if we were to drop down and get some temperatures down into the, you know, into the single digits around zero or below.
Which I think we're out of the,
You
really feel a sense of season change with what we've had the last week or so and what's projected for the next 10 days. You kind of feel like we're switching and changing over.
Right.
Let's go to line number one real fast. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I would like to ask a question about the crepe myrtle.
Okay, perfect.
I have had one in the ground for about 20 years. In the last 3 or 4 years, it hasn't bloomed. And also, there are suckers coming up, maybe 3 feet, 3 or 4 feet away from the bush.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if they will ever bloom.
Yeah, a couple questions for you. What type of sunlight is it getting? Is it still pretty exposed?
About 5 hours.
Okay. What about competing trees? Any larger shade trees around it?
No.
No. So it's in a pretty wide open, sunny area?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
It's the morning sun.
Okay.
Has it been pruned recently?
Yes, it was pruned about 3 years ago. It's a tall, I don't know what kind it is,
yeah,
other than it's grown real tall.
Okay.
What about any type of fertilization program it's been on? Have you fertilized it in the recent years?
Well, I don't believe so. And that's another question.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like maybe it would benefit from, number one, you know, maybe having some thinning done to it rather than cutting it back, just going in and kind of thin it out a little bit.
Okay. What kind of fertilizer?
Fertilize it with something that's really high in phosphorus, something that's got a high middle number. Triple superphosphate would be great, or any good blooming plant kind of granular fertilizer that's going to give you a good long-lasting feed. You know, not a liquid fertilizer like Miracle-Gro or something like that, but a granular, slow-release kind of fertilizer that's going to really be in there and providing a good long-term feed.
And I would keep it on a good schedule. You know, go ahead and apply that fertilizer now.
Uh-huh.
Maybe hit it again in the fall.
Okay.
And, you know, it may not, you know, give you the blooms this year, but maybe for next season. You know, that's probably what you're, you know, if you don't get any this year, you know, don't give up on the fertilizer. It's going to take longer than a couple months to kick in and do its thing. I'd continually keep it on that fertilization program, and you should start to see it turn around. Like Norman said, thin it out a little bit. Also, if any new suckers or growth comes up at the bottom, always go through and remove those. That's just stealing nutrients and fertilizers and everything from getting up through the main branches where the blooms and flowers are produced.
Well, these suckers are away from the plant.
Yeah, those shouldn't affect it at all.
Just cut them off? Or should I leave them, and will they bloom eventually?
They should bloom eventually. It may take a few years to get some maturity on them and everything.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that you can often do is once they come up and, you know, get a foot or so of height on them, just go around and just kind of cut around them about a foot or so away from the shoot. Just go down with a spade and just make a cut straight into the ground and take the shovel straight back out. And that'll actually sever its connection with the main plant.
Oh, yeah.
If there is one.
Okay.
And make sure that it's, at that point, it'll have enough of a root system to be able to stand on its own. And you'll be able to not have it robbing energy from the main plant, but still be able to enjoy the new plant as well.
Okay.
And at that point, you can transplant it to somewhere else, too, after it's been in for a little while.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your phone call. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Happy gardening. Bye. We've got to take a quick break for the local news. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
We're here for the next half an hour to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. I'm the Minister of Mulch. He's the Professor of the Plants. If you have anything going on in the garden, give us a call at 977-1070. You gave me a funny look when I called you the professor.
I never know quite what's going to come out. That's why I can't know.
Like,
right,
that's
going
true.
This time?
I like to keep you guessing, Norman. Keep you on your toes. Well, all right, we started off the show talking about mulch.
I gotta tell you, this is funny.
All right, go for it.
We're doing the Flower Friday segment that we do every Friday on CBS 19 last night. And the story that they did right before they went to the you know, they always, I go on right after a commercial break.
Right.
And the story that they did right before the commercial break was, you know, they do this segment that's called Caught on Camera. And it's, you know, a bunch of different things that have happened kind of around the country. No, it's
national.
Yeah, national, yeah. You know, from around the country, kind of oddball things that have happened or whatever. And the story that they did right before, or the last one in that segment right before they went to break, was this guy had seen some things that weren't quite right in his house.
Uh-huh.
So he set up kind of a nanny cam, you know, hidden
surveillance,
video surveillance camera in his house to see if he could see what was going on. And it ended up there was this guy that kept coming in, you know, that would come into his house, and apparently had been doing this on several times. You know, would come into his house and kind of make himself at home. Would go, you know, raid the refrigerator and, you know, watch TV.
Hopefully it wasn't a contractor he hired.
No, it was just some random guy. And, you know, he would do all this stuff in the man's house naked. He'd take off all his clothes and be just kind of
hanging
around.
So I remind you of a naked guy that sneaks into people's house.
Well, no, you know.
Thanks, Norman.
the segue between talking about, you know, this guy breaking into this guy's house and running around naked and everything. Jim Hanchett, the anchor, says, you know, we'll be right back after the break for Flower Friday with a fully clothed Norm Carlson. And I was like, we better be. I'm not, you know, we ain't going there. Trust me, I don't want to. You don't want to. You don't want me to.
But that's good.
That was so good. And he's come back with, you know, a few things like that here lately that, you know, you never quite know what he's going to say come, you know, when he's
don't you like
leading
that,
us
though?
Into that. Oh, it's fun.
And if you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070. Make sure you're fully clothed before you call in. Oh, wow. We're really digressing this morning. Let's get back to mulch. That's something that...
Well, that's what one of the puts
a nice cover on the planting bed so they don't
makes
look
your
so naked.
Look, yeah, makes your beds fully clothed.
So we talked about getting your weed barrier down as one of the benefits of that mulch provides is helping the prevention of weeds in conjunction with using a good weed herbicide. The second thing it really does and provides is a good moisture element. It helps provide and hold moisture in and around plants and trees where otherwise that moisture, that valuable water, might run off and not get trapped or collected for the shrubs.
Right. It does it in a couple of ways. One is it helps to actually capture that moisture when it hits the ground. It doesn't run off as freely. It you know, all the nooks and crannies and everything in the mulch, when the raindrops hit, and you know, there's a much greater tendency that they're going to get trapped and actually have a chance to absorb in and soak into the and make it down into the soil, into the root zone of the plants, instead of just impacting on the surface and bouncing and rolling off and actually eroding some of the soil surface and everything with it. There's been studies done on, you know, how significantly mulch moderates the impact of the force of the raindrops when they hit, and how that impacts the erosion and all that. And that's even on flat ground. And
right.
Of course, you know, you get onto a slope, which, you know, so many of us have in our hilly terrain in this area, you get onto a slope and that impact is even greater. The other thing that mulch does to help retain moisture in the soil is it reduces the amount of solar and wind evaporation that occurs. That mulch acts as a buffer to moderate the amount of water that's evaporated out of the soil through wind and just the heat of the sun, and helps retain moisture that way and keep it in the soil and really does a tremendous amount to reduce the amount of moisture that's lost either through runoff or through evaporation and you're able to make the most out of what rainfall you get and keep it right there around the plant where you need it.
All right, and finally, one of the third main reasons why you put down mulch is just aesthetic purposes. It's just so darn good looking, and there's nothing that quite restores your landscape to looking the way it did when it was originally installed. In fact, enhances it as the landscape matures. Is a nice, fresh coating layer of mulch. Right. It really sets off the planting beds. It makes the landscape look fresh and new once again. It's also a great time to go back through and put a hand edge on mm-hmm. the planting beds, which will help separate the turf from the planting beds, which will help keep weeds out of the planting bed as well. There's several different ways you can do that. You can do it just with a natural straight edge shovel or a spade. There's mechanical edging equipment and tools. You can also, I've seen people use bricks for edging pavers.
Mm-hmm.
Out west, one of the most common frequent things you see out there is actual concrete edging, which you really don't see as much here on the East Coast.
Right.
But, out in the Midwest, the West Coast, that's very, very popular is a concrete edge. And, they get into stamping that edge and putting different colors in the dyes of the concrete and really dressing up the edge with a product like concrete.
Yeah, it ends up being almost like a curb.
Exactly.
Between you got a curb between the street and the sidewalk. Well, this puts a curb between your turf and your beds.
Which it's I've seen it a lot. I actually worked for a company when I was in between college semesters, and they used that product, and it looked all right. I'm not gonna say I was a huge fan of it, but it looked all right. But like I say, it's not one of those products we really see used too much here in Charlottesville or on the East Coast, for that matter. I can only think of a handful of properties, even in Charlottesville, that I've ever even seen it.
Right.
But there is nothing more beautiful than a well-maintained property in the springtime. Springtime is the time to mulch. That's when you're out in your yard enjoying your garden. That's when you're working in it. That's when you're, really outdoors with your family and enjoying it. And it looks nice when your property's well maintained and mulched and looking its best.
That's right. And we're full into mulching season. We had four tractor trailer loads of fresh double shredded hardwood roll in this past week. We got pine available, and
speaking of that type of volume, that's four tractor trailer loads of mulch. That's
320
yards of mulch in 1 week. That's come and gone and sold and sitting on someone's property right now. That's about we're about 3 weeks ahead of schedule where we usually be. That's the sales we're seeing right now are comparable to mid to late March. So the season has sprung and people are out working in their gardens and yards, and maybe you've seen it in your subdivision, your neighbor, but people are out actively working, and we make it so easy for you to order mulch. You can order mulch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our mulch hotline at www.snownose.com. You can click on materials and you can place an order right there. We have a mulch and materials calculator where you can calculate how much you're going to need for your property. You can submit an order form and we'll get that delivery out to you as soon as possible. You can also call our mulch hotline 8 to 5 p.m., which is 296-9762. We'll take your orders via Facebook, Twitter. You can call the Garden Center at 295-2159. You can stop in. We have loading during our business hours where you can have your truck loaded. And we've got tons of mulch for you. And as always, you're going to love our mulch, Glenn.
And we've also got topsoil available. We've got compost. We've got several types of gravel that is available. If you've got some areas in your driveway that have washed out or get some potholes that have developed through the winter, you can stop by and pick up some gravel.
And
we
don't talk that much. We talk a lot about mulch and how much you're going to love it. But we have a complete material center with close to about 16 bins. These are large bulk material bins with 16 different products ranging from different varieties of mulch, topsoil, compost, several different varieties of stone products, natural 57s, the Brown River Rock Surge products, and everything in between. So it's all available online, or you can swing by the Garden Center at 1875 Avon Street in Charlottesville, Virginia. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. Blue Ridge. And welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. A little Miley Cyrus, a little party in the USA this morning. If you'd like to join our party here in the WNA studios, our number is 977-1070. The phone lines are wide open. We had two phone calls. Sorry we lost you. If you give us a call back, we'll put you right on the air. That's 977-1070. Talking, we talked a big, large portion about weeds and mulch and everything. But out in the on the other side of the planting bed, all right, I told the caller we put them right back on, so I don't want to lose them. So we'll hold off on that for 2 seconds. Oh, break my heart. 977-1070 is the number. We'll put you right on the air unless you hang up on us. Call back. We'll get you on the air. So we're talking about everything happening in the planting beds, but jump the little edge we were talking about. Let's talk about lawns for a second. Norman and I were saying we definitely wouldn't recommend getting starting on your crabgrass and broadleaf control this early in the season. You'd probably still want to hold off a couple weeks, maybe, you know, and again, just kind of depends how things go, but at least maybe right. Another 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, the crabgrass preventer, if you get it down too early, it has a, you know, it's got a certain length of time that it's effective in the soil, and if you get it down too early, it starts to break down and you lose effectiveness while you're still kind of in the season, and you'll get a lot of what we call escapes come June and July on the backside because it's lost its effectiveness before the germination period for crabgrass is over with, and you'll have some that'll make it through on the other end. So you don't want to get it down too early. And, you know, as far as broadleaf control, the best products to use are the liquid, and even with the even if you're using some of the granular products, with the kind of wind that we've had and the kind of wind especially that we're going to have today,
you're going to spray today, you're going to be spraying the whole subdivision.
That's right. You're going to get it everywhere but where you want it. And with broadleaf weed products, that's a real issue because that drift can get onto your shrubs, you know, onto other desirable vegetation. That doesn't, you know, some of those plants, it doesn't take a lot to before you start seeing some damage and some injury. And it may not kill the plant, but you know, you get some burn on the leaves and some distortion on the new growth, and it really affects the health and overall appearance of the plant. So you want to be very careful as you're applying it. You want to pick a day when it's really not windy, which, today would not be that day.
Yeah, I'd also invite listeners to come out to the Garden Center and look at the large variety and assortment we have in green organic products for everything we're talking about. We've got one of the largest selection of organic earth-friendly products that I know in Central Virginia. So come out and take a look at what we're doing on that front as well. We try to talk about those as much as we can, but we definitely have those available. We have programs available as well for you to use those products in your garden. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I the lady that's on now?
You are on.
Oh, okay. What I'm calling about, I live in a mobile home park here in Alamar County.
Uh-huh.
And we have a holly tree, and the kids don't have that much where to play, and they just, they've demolished it. They had so much fun with it when back when it was in October, November. And what I'm worried, we have wild roses. You know, the wild roses are small. They just have, like, what, 5 petals? And these are white. I remember as a child when I lived in Rockingham County, we had pinklings, and they have such a good fragrance. But, oh, are they sticky. Would it hurt to prune them back even with the bush? They grow out of the bush.
Uh-huh.
And I'd have to probably buy pruning shears, but I wouldn't mind. But I'd love to see them come out again. And I'm going to try to keep the kids away if I can. It's hard, you know.
It is. But you know, that's one of the
and they're a natural flower to Albemarle County. I am all for keep, you know, oh, I just wish I could study the history more of Albemarle County. I love it. I have a medical problem with my leg, but it's doing better, and I'm semi-retired. It's no such thing as retiring.
Exactly. My dad can attest to that.
Yes. I'm sure, no doubt.
But yeah, it definitely wouldn't hurt to, I mean, you know, those kind of wild roses.
Thorny. I cannot believe how thorny they are, but they have such a wonderful aroma.
They really do.
They do.
Oh, my gosh. And you don't find them very often, do you?
No,
and
you don't.
And to remove them out of the tree, there's so many of them. It would take a professional like y'all to do it, and then I don't think even if you put them out on the ground, they probably wouldn't survive. We've got dogs and cats, and you know what doggies and cats do.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't going out and chasing dog or cat away from...
But yeah, that, you know, that definitely wouldn't hurt to just go ahead
and just sort of trim them back even with the thing. And I'm going to have to watch. And I think a bird's just made her nest in there, so that's even more of a challenging. I don't
yeah,
know
you
if
might.
She's got eggs in there. And that's right in the thorny. And if those kids see it, you know what happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You might just go through and tip it up a little bit. And just kind of
like if we have a rail around it, you know, a turnaround.
Yeah,
rail.
Just kind of maintain it, turn it back, and just let them be wild and grow. And
well, that's what I'm saying. I would never take them out of the.
Yeah.
And we're in probably one of the oldest parts of Albemarle County. You know that trailer court up behind Rowell Hill Shopping Center. You know exactly.
Oh yes,
where it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know who owns it. I don't need to say. And that's fine. You know, thank God we have places to live because not everybody can afford it. And another
that's
thing
right.
I want to ask you about, I know I need to make this quick. Where can I get some, oh, now, what do you call them? They're spring flowers.
Pansies?
No, keep going. They come like early March.
Are they bulbs or flowers?
Well, it's like on a bush. It's like a big, that makes me so angry that I can't think of them. And they're really rare. They're a very, very old, old bush. And not very many people have them. It's kept on the older places. They're a purple. And they have such a good... Lilacs.
Lilacs. Yeah, yeah.
Where? None of the florists have...
We have lilacs.
Huh?
We have lilacs at the garden center.
I mean, that you can just cut and...
Not that you can cut, but we have some real inexpensive... 3 gallon, you know, variety.
Really?
We have a couple different varieties in mm-hmm. stock, or will have in stock. We were right. carrying some really.
Well, can you just plant them in the ground? If a dog does, and a cat does, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they should probably be fine.
Well, now I might be able to put them between. I got two tires out here where my husband's living. He got those tires. You ever heard of them old fashioned tires that they make into flower beds?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Oh, I got two of them.
You got a couple country boys here. Come on now.
I live too countryfied. You know, you got to be, you got to have some etiquette about you.
That's right.
There you go.
I lived in the country. But, you know, they're just hard to find.
They are.
Oh, and I know some people up the road here have them, and I often thought I'd stop in and ask them for some. Well, listen, I know you got to go. Thank you so much.
We really enjoyed you calling in. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Get out and play in the garden.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Speaking of, we don't have any tire gardens available for sale, but we got some beautiful cypress furniture in just mm-hmm. yesterday from Florida.
It's beautiful.
And it is gorgeous Florida cypress, and it's just natural, organic. It comes in a four-piece set. It comes with a love chair. Two other chairs and a coffee table, and then we've got some cypress arbors, trellises, and benches, and they're just beautiful, beautiful. We got them in last year. We sold out in about 2 weeks, so we double our order for this year. So if, come out and take a look at those. Also, fresh new arrival yesterday of pansies. We've mm-hmm. got a beautiful selection of pansies, both in flats, 4-inch, 6-inch. We've got some beautiful primrose.
Right.
And the trucks are rolling, folks.
Yes, they are.
Several weeks ahead of schedule. We will have fresh new material, plants, trees, and shrubs starting next week, coming from all over the East Coast. Local shrubs, locally grown. Come out and see us. We're at 1875 Avon Street. Follow us on the World Wide Web at www.snownose.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Snows Garden Center. We're out of time. We're out of phone calls. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.